Our scripture this morning, if you turn with me to Acts chapter 21 as we continue our series through this book. And we are, after today, we are going to take a break for next week is Thanksgiving and then coming into the Advent season. So we will be taking a break from Acts for a while. But in chapter 21, beginning at verse 37, the context of this, Paul was in the temple. He had delivered the gift, the offering that had been received by the Gentile churches to the Jerusalem church. He had given it to the church, and James had asked him to go to the temple to take part in a dedication service of brothers, Jewish brothers, to show that Paul still supported the law. While there, people saw him, Jews saw him, and they started a protest. They started a riot. Paul was arrested and brought in charge of the Roman authorities, and that's where we pick up the story. As the soldiers were about to take Paul into the barracks, he asked the commander, "May I say something to you?" "Do you speak Greek?" he replied. He said, "Aren't you the Egyptian who started a revolt and led 4,000 terrorists out into the desert some time ago?" Paul answered, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no ordinary city. Please let me speak to the people." And having received the commander's permission, Paul stood on the steps and motioned to the crowd. When they were all silent, he said to them in Aramaic, "Brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense." When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, "I am a Jew, born of Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city. Under Gamaliel, I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as also the high priest and the council can testify. I even obtained letters from them to their brothers in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. At noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' I asked. 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. 'What shall I do, Lord?' I asked. 'Get up,' the Lord said, 'and go into Damascus, and there you'll be told what you are being assigned to do.' My companions led me by the hand into Damascus, but the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man called Ananias came to see me, and he was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' At that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, 'The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name.' When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance, and saw the Lord speaking. 'Quick,' he said to me, 'leave Jerusalem immediately, because they will not accept your testimony about me.' 'Lord,' I replied, 'these men know that I went from synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval, guarding the clothes of those who were killing him.' Then he said to me, 'Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles.' The crowd listened to Paul until he had said this, but then he raised their voices and shouted, 'Get rid of him. He is not fit to live.'" Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for its power in our life and the wonderful story. And your word, Lord, is the account of you at work in our lives and you at work in the lives of people that you have called and changed. So, Lord, we thank you that you continue to work and change lives today. And, Lord, through your word this morning, just encourage us, instruct us as we focus on the story that you have for us to tell through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. Everyone loves a good story. And a story that is told well can be very gripping and very moving. Perhaps remember the days of camping, sitting by a campfire, and you hear those good campfire stories, especially as it gets dark, and you have those stories that can be very gripping. I always love sitting by a campfire, hearing a good campfire story. Or down in the Smoky Mountains, the Cherokee, are excellent storytellers as they pass on from one generation to next the traditions of those who have come on before. And when you hear someone tell that story and they can share it in a way that is gripping and compelling, it can grab a hold of you. It can be memorable. I can imagine all of you can sit back and think of a story that you were told, and you can remember that story and the events of it because they stick with us. Paul shares his story, and in where we are in chapter 22, Paul is sharing his story with the crowd. We had seen how he had been arrested, and he asked the Roman authorities, "Can I speak to the people?" And they had given him a permission, so he stood before them, and he shared his story. His story of how he came to Christ and how the Lord had worked and changed him. And he shared his testimony or what God has done. The Lord calls us. In fact, the Lord said to Paul, "I am sending you to be my witness, to tell the story of what you had seen and heard." And that word witness that we're called to be is actually where we get the word martyr from. But really what a witness is, it's just basically telling what we know, what we've seen, and what we've experienced. And Paul, who shared his testimony here, and we had seen in chapter 9 how the Lord met him on the road to Damascus and how his life was changed, and here he's telling that story to those who would hear it, hopefully that through hearing Paul's story, their life would be changed. Well, this morning, everyone has a story. And you may say, "Dan, that's fine for Paul to do that, but I don't have a dramatic story like Paul. I wasn't blinded on the road of Damascus. I wasn't persecuting the church, and then the Lord met me on the road and changed my life. I don't have that kind of story to tell." Well, know what? I don't either. And probably none of us in this room do, but you know what? Every one of us has a story. Do you believe that? Every one of us has a story about how you came to Jesus. Who it was that told you about Christ. Maybe it was your Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was Billy Graham on TV. But all of us have different stories of how we came to know Christ. And it's a good story because it's your story and it's personal to you. And no one, it's not better than anybody else's. It's your personal story. And who can tell your story better than you, right? And that's what Paul is doing here. He's sharing his story of how he came to Christ. And from him this morning, briefly, want to discover four ways in which we can learn to tell your story. As God gives you opportunity to share with those around you how you come to Jesus. And if you've ever heard Nick tell his story, he's very compelling when he tells his story. He's told, every time Nick tells his story, I'm like hanging on every single word. Because you do it so well, Nick, and it's so compelling. And that's how a good story can be told. But four principles that will help you and I as we tell our story about how you come to know Jesus. The first principle is share about your life before Christ. Notice how Paul began this. He started by saying, "I am a Jew, born of Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up under this city, taught by Gamaliel, trained in the law of the fathers, and I was very zealous for God. And I had a zeal for God, and I was taught in the law, and I was very righteous in the way I lived." And Paul's story, even though he was come to Christ in a different way, very dramatic, his story really is no different than ours. Because his life before Jesus was just like us. He had religious zeal, but he was lost. You know, and there's a lot of people that we have that zeal and passion, or people that know about God or are righteous or grow up in the church and do things for God, but that doesn't save us. But that's part of our story. And for those of us in our life before Jesus, it may not be dramatic, but you can remember the time of what our life was like before Jesus. Mine, I grew up in the church and was taught to know the Lord, and there was a time I never knew Christ. I mean, didn't know about him, but I was taught you follow Jesus to keep the law. You keep the law. If you don't, God's going to zap you. And my version of a God was a God who was, if you step out of line, wasn't a God of love at all. And that was like my life before Christ, until I come to realize the fullness of him. But we can be zealous, but still we're lost. And he had legalistic righteousness, but he needed grace. And that's where Jesus confronted him. And knowing that every single one of us need the grace of God, no matter whether we come up in a church, whether we grow up in a church and are taught about Jesus, or whether we had no regard for him at all, we still are in need of God's grace, right? We're all in the same situation. Our story was like Paul's in the same way. He said, I was a Pharisee. I was righteous, but yet I knew nothing about the grace of God. In fact, he said, I was out persecuting those who were trying to bring that message. So what was your life like before Christ? Think back to those times. That's the first part of your story that God gives you opportunity. What was life like for you before you knew Jesus? Paul shared that. Years ago, in a church in England, a pastor noticed that a former burglar was kneeling at the communion rail beside a judge of the Supreme Court of England. The very judge who years before had sentenced the burglar to 7 years in prison. After his release, the burglar had been converted to Christ and became a Christian worker. After the service, as the judge and the pastor walked home together, the judge asked, he said to the pastor, he said, did you notice and see who was kneeling beside me at the communion rail? Yes, replied the pastor, he said, but I didn't know if you noticed or not. And the two men walked together in silence for a few moments, and then the judge said, what a miracle of grace. The pastor nodded in agreement. He said, yeah, it is a marvelous miracle of grace. Then the judge said, but to whom do you refer? And the pastor replied, well, why to the conversion of the convict, of course, the judge said. He said, but I wasn't referring to him. I was referring to myself. And the pastor said, well, what do you mean? The judge replied, the burglar knew how much he needed Christ to save him from his sins, but look at me. I was taught from childhood to live as a gentleman, to keep my word, to say my prayers, to go to church. I went to Oxford, took my degrees, was called to the bar, and eventually became a judge. He said, Pastor, nothing but the grace of God could have caused me to admit that I was a sinner on the same level as that burglar. It took much more grace to forgive me of all my pride and self-righteousness and to get me to admit that I was no better in the eyes of God than that convict who I sent to prison. Because we all are in need of God's grace. And what was your life like before Jesus? That's how Paul began his story, as we have a story to tell. Secondly, we share our encounter with Christ. Notice as Paul went on, he said, about noon, as I came near Damascus, and I was gone to the city of Damascus with letters to take the Christians and to bring them to prison and kill them. But about noon, as I was about to enter the city, I saw a bright light. And I was confronted with Jesus, and I heard a voice speak to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I said, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuted. And he came face to face and had a personal encounter with Christ. He was confronted with the truth of the gospel. And in your story, think back to that time. When was it that you had your encounter with Jesus? Was it your Sunday school teacher? Was it that person, Nick, that said, you're going to burn? Who was it that gave you that encounter with Christ and you realized who he was for the first time? Realized who Jesus was, that he died on the cross and shed his blood for you. And what he had done, that it was more than just a story, but it was actually real to you. And you had that personal encounter with Christ that changed you. That's part of your story. And as you're sharing that, and his eyes were opened, and he realized that he needed to be a savior. The blindness was taken from his eyes, the blindness that he had, that he could not realize the truth. And that blindness fell away, and he realized the truth of seeing Jesus for who he was. How did you encounter Jesus? How did you meet him? How did you realize who he was as Lord and Savior? your life before Jesus, your encounter with Christ, the third part of your story, is how you were changed by Jesus. Share how you were changed by Christ. And Paul went on and said, a man from Ananias, I was told to go see Ananias, a devout observer of the law, and he stood before me and said, Brother Saul, receive your light sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see him. And he said, the God of fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth, and you will be witnesses to all men of what you have seen and heard. And Paul's life was dramatically changed after he met Jesus. And every one of us in our story has that point that after we have an encounter with him, our life is dramatically changed from the way it was before we knew him. It may be more gradual for those of us who grew up in the church. It may not be as dramatic as Paul's, but there still should be a change by Jesus happening. And that's still part of the transformation that he makes in your life and mine. And as you share your story, reflect back on that, what life was like before Jesus, how I met him, how I encountered him, and how my life has changed now. This is what Jesus has done for me. You share that in your story. This is what Jesus has done for me. This is how he's changed my life. And you know he can do that for you too. And that's part of the story of Christ. Then the last part of how we share our mission, is share our mission for Christ. What is God doing in your life now? What is he calling you to do? Because he's calling us to give us all service. And he said to Paul, I've chosen you to be my witness to the Gentiles and to take my word to those who don't know you. And that was the mission that God had given Paul. But he gives every one of us a mission, a purpose to serve him in some way or another. And that's part of the story God wants you to share. This is the purpose that Jesus has for me in my life today. So we have a story to tell to the nations. We have a story to tell to those around us, and it begins with you and I. And the scripture instructs us to tell that story. And so the question is, as you and I focus on telling our story this morning, as I left this on the bottom, the person I can tell my story this week to is who? And who's the person that I can tell my story with? You may not have the opportunity to go in the foreign fields, but we can tell our story to those around us. And often it begins with those closest to us. And maybe the person that God wants you to tell your story to begin with is your grandchildren. The scripture tells us that we as old are instructed to teach those who are younger and the generations that come after us. And what happens if us in the older generations do not tell the story of Jesus to those coming behind us? What's going to happen? And we need to share that story. And maybe that's where you need to begin, is write the names of your grandkids down there. And maybe that's who God wants you to tell the story of Jesus to. Or a neighbor, or a coworker, or a friend. But telling your grandchildren about what God has done in your life. How life was different. How your life was different before you met him, and how you come to know Jesus, who he was. How Jesus has changed your life. And what now he is doing in your life in and through you as you live for him. That's simple the way of telling the story. Right, Ralph? It's a simple way of doing it. And no one can argue with it because it's your story. It's personal to you. And it's what God has done in your life as you come to meet and encounter him. So share that story as God gives us opportunity to tell others the story of Jesus. The simple way and what Jesus has done for us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that someone told us about that story. And we come to know you. And we thank you for what you've done in our life. And we learn from the great apostle Paul as he shared his story, that he just shared how his life was different, what his life was like before he knew you. And then how he come to know you and how that changed his life and what you are doing in and through him now. And Lord, that's really the story that you want us to share. Just how we come to know who you were and how you changed our life. And what you're doing in and through us now. And that's the simple message you've given us of the gospel to share with those who need to hear. And Lord, Help us as you give us opportunities not to be afraid to share our story. No one can tell our story better than us because it's personal to each one of us. And we are the only one who can tell our personal story of how we come to know you. So Lord, as you give us opportunities, enable us to do that through the power of your Holy Spirit to be great storytellers of the gospel and of a power of a life changed through meeting you, Jesus, who changed our life and has given us eternal life. So thank you, Lord, for your work within us, for opportunities you will give us this week to tell our story, just to simply share what you've done in our life and how we know you. And Lord, may we not be shy away from that, but just boldly and lovingly share the story of Jesus at work within each one of us. And we thank you, Lord, for those opportunities ahead of us. And we give you glory through Christ our Lord, in whom we pray. Amen.